With the 36th pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Miles Jack, linebacker, UCLA.
That is an awesome pick. I mean, he's a draftable tailback. He's a top five pick. All the rumors were Jacksonville in the first round, and they came back, traded up, got him in the second.
I've seen the guy line up on number one receivers. I've seen him cover tight ends. I've seen him play running back. I've seen him flat back offensive guard. So he's got a rare combination and skill set that we just felt like it was time to pull the trigger. The risk was worth the reward.
This is honestly the place I wanted to be at. I was telling everybody, you know, before the draft, like, if I could choose a place to come, it would be Jacksonville, just with the, really just starting with the head man, Gus Bradley. He's an honorable man. Me and him connected really quick. I felt like, you know, I could trust him in everything, and just where the program is heading, I feel like it was a great place to be a part of.
Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Tony Smith and John Osher.
Well, I got a feeling that the guy you just heard from there could be a pretty common answer today to the fan feedback spotlight question is we're asking you.
Who, John Osher? You want to see him at minicamp?
I'm sure you can if you want. If that's who you're looking forward to seeing out there, he'll have the big hat on, as usual, that John always wears out there for Jaguars practice. But Miles Jack going to be a common answer, I got a feeling, today. And he's probably the number one answer for me, too. And I haven't been out there to see any practice. I've talked to a bunch of people who have been out at practice, and some of the names that keep coming up, we'll talk about that a little bit later on today when John gets in here with me as well. But I got a feeling, and we're asking on the fan feedback spotlight today, who are you most looking forward to seeing as the fans get the first opportunity to go see the Jaguars in action here over the next couple days at minicamp? And I think Miles Jack will be among the leading contenders for votes on this. There may be a couple other guys on that list as well. John Osher, as I said, he'll be joining me in studio here in the next couple minutes. We'll get into wrapping up team OTAs, getting ready for minicamp, some of the players that have the most pressure on them to step up, including at least one guy who has been stepping up to this point in the OTAs, but a lot more work for him to do. We'll talk about that. Obviously got this date in football history, the Honda Drive, and of course just a preview of what's coming up for Jaguars minicamp as well today when John Osher joins us in studio. Mike Dempsey, he's up in New York. He's got some kind of fantasy football draft. Yeah, I know. That's how he rolls.
June 13th, he's already drafting.
It's June 13th, and they got, like, their big draft. It's like, on his satellite channel, this is the big draft that they have. Like, this is the experts' draft. They can't wait till July like a normal group of fantasy fans would, or even into August when preseason football is actually going on. No, they need an excuse to get together for 3 days in New York in the middle of June. So, Mike Dempsey is up there today. He'll be up there again tomorrow. He'll rejoin me on Wednesday, and I hope you enjoy him on Wednesday.
This is serious for Mike now, Tony. I asked Mike about this, and he's like, oh, you know, Sirius was trying to have me host a radio show while the draft was going on.
He did it last year, yeah.
And Mike is like, I am not doing that this year. This is serious. 100% of my focus is going towards the draft.
Yeah. So, Mike will be back on Wednesday with us, and again, enjoy him on Wednesday because that'll be the next to last day in June that you get to hear his voice. If you get annoyed with me, I'm sorry. You will have me for the next 2.5 weeks, and you will enjoy it or not enjoy it. There's not much I can do except provide whatever content I can to keep you fellas entertained out there in 1010 XL land. And John Osher will be joining me here in just a couple of moments. I do, in all seriousness, it's impossible to avoid this just with it being such a huge news story. So I'm going to talk about it here at the top, and we're not going to make the show about this. But obviously the tragedy that happened in Orlando yesterday, which is unbelievable. And I know for me, I was sitting on the couch yesterday morning. I got up so I could watch Euro 2016, right? I'm sitting there watching soccer, and Mike Tirico is anchoring it from their studio. And before the first game gets started, he says something about, and they were talking about the hooliganism that's been going on with the Euros and some of the fighting that's been on the streets outside of some of these venues over there in Europe and France during this tournament. And he said, of course, that doesn't compare at all to what happened in the United States in Orlando. And it kind of just went right over my head, right? I'm watching it. It kind of went right over my head, and I'm watching the game. And then at halftime, he mentions it again. So I flip over to see what is going on in Orlando. And obviously, it's this horrendous, horrific story going on in Orlando. And it's there are, I mean, I was watching it for hours, kind of the same way that I was watching 9/11 for hours. I couldn't turn it off. And the tragedy that was going on in Orlando is unbelievable. Thoughts and prayers, obviously, going to the victims down there, the families down there. It's unbelievable what they're having to deal with. I know the Orlando blood banks actually said that they were at capacity yesterday, that so many people showed up to donate blood that they actually had to turn people away and say, look, we're going to need this again in the very near future, but for now, we got all that we can handle, which is pretty amazing and tells you a lot about this country. And even when we're being attacked by something like this, by terrorism, by this kind of thing, our willingness to stand up for the people that are victims of this thing is pretty incredible and brings this country together in these kind of moments more than it does at other times. And the other thing that struck me is, look, the bodies of those victims were still in that club for hours. The families of those victims didn't know, weren't sure for hours. My roommate is a state trooper, and I'm not comparing what he has to deal with on a daily basis to what these police officers and the people that are going to be investigating this thing in Orlando are going to have to deal with. But I've seen him when he has to go to one family, when he has to go to one home. I've seen him come home and carry that with him. When he has to go tell one father, one mother that their teenage daughter or son passed in a car accident. I've seen him have to deal with that one. The idea of dealing with 49 is devastating. And I don't know if anyone who's involved in that can ever possibly be the same after what they had to deal with yesterday. And that includes the people that are responding to it. It obviously, first and foremost, includes the victims and those victims' families. There's no way that you can be the same after something like that happens in your life. And so prayers, thoughts are with them, obviously, down in Orlando. If there's any breaking news during the show, I'll try to share that with you about what is going down there. I know they said that they had identified 48 of the 49 victims, that one was, they were still having trouble identifying one person that was inside the club. So, I mean, just absolutely awful. And I don't want to make the whole show about it, but it'd be disingenuous to not mention it, especially with it being so close to us. I mean, it's Orlando. And I know that there were people from Jacksonville in that club. I know there were.
Former JU Dolphin receiver.
Yeah, I mean, it's an unbelievable story. And it's obviously still unfolding here over the next couple hours and days and weeks and probably months, maybe even years. This kind of story.
I think one of the most heartbreaking things that I saw yesterday came across on Twitter. It was one of those things where you kind of put yourself in those first responders' shoes, and cell phones are ringing off the hook inside the club, inside people that were slain or injured.
Oh, yeah.
And that's just almost bone-chilling to think about, is all those cell phones going off of loved ones trying to reach, you know, people that were inside the club, and just those phones going unanswered.
Yeah, I mean, it's like
it's heartbreaking.
It's devastating. I mean, what happened down there is absolutely devastating, and again, prayers for the families and everyone that's dealing with this right now, because that community will never be what it was. You change after something like that. It's just what happens.
And that's just days after a pretty well-known singer who was on The Voice was also murdered just hours after her show in Orlando. So that city is just, like you said, Tony, it's just it's a terrible situation.
Yeah, unbelievable what happened down there, and we'll continue to watch the response. Like I said, if there's any breaking news with it, I'll try to get it to you over the course of the next 2 hours, but I don't want to make the show about that. But I did feel like it'd be disingenuous to not acknowledge that obviously we're all aware of that story and we're all thinking about the people of Orlando. I know there's Jaguars fans that probably listen to this show every day from Orlando, Florida, and our thoughts and our prayers are with you. John Osher will join me in studio next. We'll turn our attention back to less meaningful things like football and the Jacksonville Jaguars, but we'll get back into that as John Osher joins me in studio. Who has stood out through the team's OTAs? A couple names keep coming up. We'll dig into those guys as we continue along on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Mike Dempsey up in the Big Apple. Fat Tony here with you. John Osier joining me in studio. What's going on, John?
Not a lot. I'm here. I'm apologize for being late, but
it's okay.
Life happens, right?
I know you got stuff going on.
Yeah. Got a roof going on, and I don't handle even mini adversity well, so it's a whole thing for me.
I'm just glad you're here.
Yeah, well,
honestly, I'm just glad you're here because when I texted you last week about coming on with me, you were like, yeah, that should be fine, assuming they don't need my help with the roof.
Well,
and
yeah.
I was like, in my head, I'm going, well, what am I going to do if I'm counting on John to be here with me? And Monday morning it gets here and he's like, I got this issue with the house. I can't get out
there.
Yeah,
obviously any listener would be saying, what in the world would Ozone be helping on the roof with? And it wasn't that. I get incredibly paranoid when things are going on.
Sure.
At the house. So
hey,
that's what
roof.
It is.
It's your roof. You're allowed to be a little paranoid. I will say
hands.
Off the top here, too, if you're looking for updates on what's going on with Jeremy Foley, again, this is just not the show for that. I can tell you that the AD of Florida is going to be resigning. The press conference is supposed to be tomorrow at 5, and the latest I've seen is that he's going to still be the AD until October 1st. So they're going to be searching for the new AD between now and then, but that's going to be the most we talk about Jeremy Foley on this show. I know a
no
lot of
story
fans
as
are,
to why, just time.
I haven't seen anything yet. Just haven't seen anything yet as to why he would be stepping down, because it does feel like it's coming a little bit out of nowhere, but I'm sure the boys of the Midday Chalk will get into that, as there are a couple Gators on that show that I'm sure weren't planning on talking about Jeremy Foley today.
Covered Jeremy for 2 years. He always treated him well. I liked him a lot.
Yeah, that's the way sports go. Sometimes the stories just come out of nowhere, and today the story not out of nowhere, obviously, but OTAs wrapping up last week, John. And the names that I keep hearing as far as who stood out through the team OTAs, and I can't imagine you disagree with this, the two names that I keep hearing, Dante Fowler Jr. and Marquise Lee.
Yeah, and I think it's fair to throw their guys in there, too. I mean, I would, and I will talk about him later, Tashawn Gibson has looked very good. I would say Julius Thomas has looked as good as the other guys. I don't think those two are as big as stories, because I expected Julius Thomas and Tashawn Gibson to look fine, and it's a good story for the team, but it's not a shock. And Dante is not a shock either. Marquise isn't a shock, but those were guys clearly before camp you wondered how they would look. How would Dante Fowler look on the knee? And even the knee aside, would he look the part of a number three overall pick, all the athletic stuff, all of the dominant quick twitch, athleticism, all of the special things that you want to see when you draft a guy that high? We had seen him for maybe 25 minutes last year.
Mm-hmm.
And with the combination of the layoff, the knee, the pick, you didn't know. And to the untrained media eye, which is mine, he's looked fantastic. Talking to people who would know better, he's looked more than fantastic. They are ecstatic with how he's looked, and probably it's safe to say he looks better than they anticipated he would look.
Yeah, and I think with Marquise Lee, for me, it's good to hear that kind of thing, because I've been talking about it since he got here.
Sure.
He's one of those guys that whenever he is at practice and you're allowed to be out there,
yeah,
it's hard not to watch him.
Just
well, because
I think
of
you made
the
comment last year, right along those lines. I remember us talking on the air. There are things he does where when he does a couple of things in a row, your eye is drawn to him and you can't. And if you're watching practice, you wind up watching him even before the snap, that you think he's going to do something that, I don't know if you haven't seen before, it's practice, let's not overplay it, but the eye draws to him. And there hasn't been that many of those moments because he's been out in the off season, and then once training camp starts, also been out or on the field. Well, last week, when you were at practice, your eye was drawn to Marquise Lee again. And on Monday, he was, I know it sounds ridiculous to say about a practice, but he was remarkable. I think fans saw some of the footage on Jaguars.com, but he had some deep catches. He was catching over the middle. He looked sharp. And I asked him after practice, you know, he's an upbeat guy anyway.
Yeah.
He's a guy who is energetic. When he walks back to the huddle, he hops back to the huddle. He's that guy. But it looked like he was having fun. It's not that he doesn't have fun anyway, but it looked like, not to overstate it, but that he was coming into his own. He felt comfortable. He was jawing with the defensive backs. They were getting a little ticked off because they were getting beat. But it looked like a guy who felt like he was in his element and coming into his own.
Which is good to hear because, look, when even when he was on the field last year, Marquise, it felt like everything was a little bit out of control.
Sure. Oh, yeah,
for
yeah,
him. You know,
yeah.
I mean, because he is such a really, he's that quick twitch athlete, as we've said.
Right.
He's got that kind of ability to make people miss in open space, but it felt like everything was going faster than Marquise could even handle it going at times last year. And I don't know if that was he's watching Hearns and
sure.
Robinson make all these plays. Rashad Green made plays when he got the opportunity. Walters made plays when he got the opportunity. So maybe part of the thing is in his head, he's like, if I get the ball,
right.
I got to make a big play every time I touch the ball so that these guys know what I'm about.
Right.
And it's good to hear that it sounds like maybe he's relaxed a little bit from that perspective. Now, if the lights come
sure.
back on tomorrow, maybe Marquise is that kind of jitterbug guy again. But it struck me last year watching him when he was actually on the field for the Jags that it felt that way, and it needed to slow down for Marquise to really take advantage of the athleticism he has.
Yeah, I think that's fair, and I think I don't know if he would put it exactly that way, but I think he's speaking to that a little bit when he talks to the media during OTAs the last few weeks. He talked a couple of times, and both times I've talked to him, anytime you ask him a question, he sort of pulls back and says, hey, I'm just trying to stay healthy. I know what I can do if I'm on the field. And inside that quote is probably a little bit of what you're talking about, of if I just relax, if I just do what I know I'm capable of, I know I have the ability, if I'm on the field and healthy, to play at a high level in this league. So stop worrying about it. Stop trying to make a home run every play. If I just play football, I'm going to be okay. And I know, because I get the feedback in the Ozone about it all the time, fans, even now when we're talking about Marquise, they're like, yeah, well, when's he going to get hurt? You know, and they're expecting that. And it's a fair question. All I can tell you is he hadn't been hurt in this offseason. That was the goal. That's what the team wanted. They've seen what they're wanting to see. And when you talk to people around the Jaguars now, there's a little bit more of a, that might be interesting to watch. You know,
sure.
And there's been a hope, but he just couldn't get on the field. Well, he hasn't done it in the regular season, but the first step was doing this, and he's making the first step.
Yeah, he is, and impressing everybody along the way, which is good to see from a guy like that. And I can understand, too, if you're Marquise Lee and you're watching these other guys
sure.
succeed at the level that they're succeeding.
Can't be easy at all.
And your opportunities just in game by game just aren't there. Even when you're healthy enough to be on the field, your opportunities just weren't there because you weren't available in the offseason for them to get you installed and have a role that they felt like, here's what Marquise gives us. It's more of, well, let's see what we can get out of him for a couple plays. They did some things to creatively to put the ball in his hands last year a little bit and try to get him in some open space. But that was the extent of it, and he needs to be a part of this. Yeah, he needs to be a part of this to have that role expanded to something bigger.
Well, and if he's a part of this, I get questions all the time. Well, even if he's playing well, where are they going to put him? How's he going to get a role? Well, if he's playing like he's been playing in practice, they're going to find something for him to do.
No doubt.
Because everybody's heard us talk about it a lot. He's different. He can do things that, as good as Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns are, they can do things he can't do. But Marquise Lee has a skill set where he adds a dimension to this offense and could make it very, very dangerous.
John Osher joining me in studio. He'll be with me for the rest of today's show as we get ready for mini camp getting started tomorrow. It's open to the public. You got to go to thejaguars.com if you want to get in. It's the public's first opportunity to see any of these guys, any of the new faces. So the fan feedback question of the day today, simply, what player are you most looking forward to seeing out there at minicamp over the course of the next couple days? Miles Jack, already a very common answer. We'll talk about him a little bit later on today. Want to talk about Dante Fowler Jr. And John, some of the players that may be going into this minicamp, but really coming out of the minicamp, getting ready for training camp in July, that have the most pressure on them on this roster. We'll talk about that. Mike Dempsey up in New York. I'm Fat Tony here with you. It's a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
A Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Fat Tony here with you. John Osier alongside. Mike Dempsey up in New York City for a fantasy football draft coming up tonight.
June 13th. What's next? February?
I don't know, man. He's already had one or two. Isn't even the first, people.
See, the amazing thing, to hear him talk about it, he doesn't realize it's twisted. Like, he thinks it's completely normal.
Well, I think, like, he's in all these, like, experts leagues and stuff like that. I don't know when the last time I told you this, Jacksonville. Y'all don't real, like, when Mike does the fantasy show on Thursday afternoons where you can call in and ask, and he and I do the TV show together, y'all just don't realize how good a resource Mike Dempsey actually is when it comes to fantasy football. He is seriously one of the handful of the best fantasy football players in the country. I'm convinced. I've been in so many leagues with Mike, and whether it's redraft, dynasty, he is a killer. He is a killer in dynasty leagues.
Well, when you spend...
Oh, he spends hours
doing it. When you spend your whole life doing it, you ought to be pretty good.
He spends hours doing it. But I don't know if Jacksonville even realizes how good a fantasy football resource Mike actually is. Like, he seriously is one of the best in the country
he's
at what he does.
He loves it.
He does.
I give him credit for that.
He does. And as we talk about people, he doesn't realize we're laughing at him a little bit with these kind of things. Well, Mike would say he's getting paid to go to New York for 2 days on somebody else's dime to do a fantasy football draft. So who should be laughing at who?
I guess when you're in 57 leagues, you ought to be pretty good at it, right?
Yeah. And he is pretty good at it. As John Osher in studio here with me today, the Ozone, we talked about Marquise Lee a lot there. The other name that keeps being brought up when it comes to who stood out during the OTAs is Dante Fowler Jr. And not only is it a good thing that he's standing out, but this is a football team that really needs Dante Fowler Jr. to look like the guy who was selected with the number 3 overall pick and live up to that billing, and they need it out of him early.
Yeah, and the, I don't say expectations, but the thought of people watching him is, this guy might be better than we thought. And they thought he was pretty good. So it's difficult to put in perspective what that means, because we are talking about non-padded contact work. But all of the things that you want out of the guy in OTAs, which is athleticism, quickness, looking the part of being a pass rusher, looking good in those drills, he's off the charts. So if those things translate to NFL fields, then you could be looking at something really special. And obviously we don't know that until contact starts. But all you can do in OTAs is be as good as you can be in OTAs, and he's looked good.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I've heard from everyone who's had the opportunity to watch him, and really it's been this whole offseason. Mike and I got the opportunity to sit down with him in studio for the first time last week. He, you know, after the injury, he wasn't coming in to talk to anybody.
Right.
He's kind of been incognito a little bit down there at the stadium.
Kid,
you see him from time to time, and I'd say, hey, what's going on, Dante? How's the knee feeling?
Big smile.
Yeah, you know, and he's always happy to talk to anybody. He was thrilled to come in and do 5 minutes with Mike and I, which was kind of cool. We're not used to the guys being asked to come in there and do an interview with us and being really happy.
Or anybody being happy being around you, for that matter.
Right, I know. I mean, I'm just not used to it. But he was thrilled to be in there and talking to anybody for 10 minutes about what football is going to be like for him. And I think for the fans out there who are wondering, well, what's going on really with the knee? We talked about the timing of the injury last year, and it's devastating for the Jaguars in 2015 to not have him on the field, to not have that number 3 pick, and not get some of the rookie growing pains that he's going to have to deal with out of the way on the field last year. But talking to him last week, he seems to be under the opinion that he could take the brace off anytime he wanted. He's just playing it safe with it right now. There's no point to not keeping it on there at this point in the offseason. And it sounds like he's completely comfortable with where his knee is. Now, bodies aren't flying at it yet, but I don't get the sense that that's going to be an issue for Dante Fowler. I think he's ready to play football.
Well, and I think in that sense, you know, I don't pretend to know medically how ready his knee would be and what that process is. But you have to think that it's good that he has been very close to 100%, meaning they haven't had him work maybe as many reps per practice as they would have had he not had the knee injury. But when he's going, he's 100%. And you have to think that it's good for him to get this month, 5 weeks, however long he's been running around on the field under the rules. You have to think that it's good for him to have done that. Then you take a couple of months or a month, and then you get into the padded stuff in training camp. That was the, if there was a silver lining of when he got, or of him getting hurt, it was when he got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Being hurt last May meant that he had a year before this period, gives him a chance to do more running. He's not working on the side. He's not running with the strength conditioning guys during this time.
He's not doing what Senderek had to do last year.
Right. So that's, that I would think inside gives him confidence because he's doing football things, non-contact football things, but he's doing football things. So by the time he's ready to go back into pads, he'll have done football things enough to feel like a football player again.
Yeah, and I just get the sense from him that the knee's not in his head. And I think that's a really good thing for him already. And maybe he's too young to understand exactly right. What he's dealing with, and maybe that helps him.
Too young to be scared of it. And
yeah.
As we all know, with youth, sometimes comes some wonderful ignorance.
No doubt.
And that could be a good, good, good case of it. Because from talking to guys with ACLs over the years, and most fans who follow the show know, it's usually a mental thing coming back from it. Mm-hmm. Do I trust it? Can I cut on it? Do I feel like the unencumbered athlete that I did before it? That's sometimes a process. And hopefully in Dante's case, he's either moved past it or very close to it.
I think Fowler and Marquise Lee can fit this bill, but when we talk about the players who have the most pressure on them to step up for this team going into not mini camp especially, but getting ready for training camp and going into the season now, Marquise Lee and Dante Fowler Jr. for different reasons.
Sure.
Marquise, because we haven't seen it from him in 2 years, hasn't been able to get on the field. Dante, because he's going to be thrown into the fire from day one. He's going to be the team starting Leo,
right.
And there are going to be expectations with him at that position, especially with the kind of talent it looks like they may have on the interior of that line to give him opportunities
to get
after the quarterback.
The more important story of the two, and frankly maybe the most important story outside Blake Bortles, who's always the most important story, because Marquise would add a really, really exciting, important dimension. But the offense is ascending, and if all these things we're saying about Marquise, if none of it comes to fruition, I think most people think they're still going to have a really good offense, especially if Julius is playing as well. The running game improves. Rashad Green. There are four or five other really good options offensively outside Marquise Lee. I don't know that that's as true at the Leo position. Now, Yannick Ngakoue looks the part, looks very quick. Very good, and there's other people who can get pressure on the passer, but I don't think it's a stretch to say that Dante Fowler is the one guy on the roster who looks like, career-wise, has a really good chance to be a double-digit sack guy. Now, I'm not saying 2016 necessarily, that's a big number for a rookie, but he's that athletic rusher type that they have on the roster that jumps out at you.
Yeah, Tyler.
A question for both of you guys. We've heard a lot of good things from Marquise Lee, the Albano Tiger, and let's say he does live up to the potential he's been showing so far this OTAs. Does he have enough to supplant Allen Hurns as the Jags' number two?
I don't know that he would directly supplant Allen Hurns if Marquise Lee, lived up to the billing. We were talking about this kind of sideways a moment ago, John. The idea would be Marquise does something that Hurns can't. And Hurns does something that Marquise shouldn't, right? Like, Marquise isn't the guy that you want running the routes over the middle of the field and having to patrol that part of the field. I think Hurns
not
is comfortable
constantly.
With that.
Marquise
right.
is better at that than you think.
Right, but Hurns has shown that ability that there is no fear to
right.
his game in that part of the field.
I know one element that they talked about early in the offseason, this is before the OTAs and on field stuff, was the idea of trying to get some three wide receiver packages with Hurns in the slot, because Hurns knows all the routes. Hearns can play any slot in the offense. So the idea of letting Marquise focus on the outside, letting him figure out a role, because they're big on that over there. Hey, learn this, master this, and then we'll give you a second thing to do. So a three wide receiver sets with Hearns in the slot are a good possibility.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if you saw that kind of
thing. But that doesn't mean that it, now, realistically, if at some point, if you're playing two wide receiver sets and you've got three wide receivers, somebody's going to lose snaps there. But it sounds to me like their idea is to get these guys all enough reps to contribute. And there's certainly, with three wide receivers, there's more than enough options and plays and balls to go around.
Look, and I'll say this too. Marquise Lee becoming a good enough player to push Allen Hurns off the field for snaps is a good thing.
Sure.
For the Jaguars. This is not a bad thing.
Right.
If he becomes a good enough player that they feel like they need to get him on the field more, that's a good problem for the Jaguars to have, is to have too many good players to get them all at the field at the same time all the time. That's not an issue they've had before. And it feels like fans at times, we talked about this with offensive and defensive line depth,
yeah,
for the last couple of years, to feel like fans are like, well, we have this really good starter, so why don't we just trade this guy?
Yeah.
Why?
Stop trading good players.
You need more than one.
Right.
You know, and you need more than two guys that can play wide receiver at a good level for you. If you can get three that are playing at a high level for you, all the better.
Well, there's so many factors, and I understand there is a tendency, I think especially in the internet era, which old stodgy guy here understands there's a pre-internet era, to depth chart analyze, meaning you look at a depth chart and these five guys are your starters, these four guys are your four defensive linemen, there are two wide receivers and one tight end and a full, you know. Well, when you watch games, the reality is the depth chart goes away after the first play. On defense, you're in nickel more than you are base. You are rotating your defensive linemen now to the point where the starting defensive line, it's nice to say you started, but being a starter doesn't necessarily mean that you are one of the four players playing the most during that game or playing the most in a key role. I think the same could be true offensively at the wide receiver position. It's so much about packages and situations. And on third down, for example, on defense, if the entire game had been played in base defense last year, with base defense versus base offense, this is a pretty good defense. And I'm exaggerating a little bit, but they were really good on first and second down.
Yeah.
Weren't very good on third down. So it was their sub packages and their nickel situations and their pass rush, their non-starters, if you will, that were really the issue on defense. So, yeah, it takes more than 11 guys on either side of the ball to be good.
Yeah, and that kind of sub-package thing brings up questions about the roster, which we can get into here in a moment, including a guy that I'm sure has been the answer for a lot of fans with the fan feedback spotlight in Miles Jack. And where does he fit in on first and second down, and especially third down for this Jaguars team? And I think those answers start coming to the forefront here over the course of the next couple of days as he's finally on the field for this team, starting with mini camp tomorrow.
Be out there somewhere.
Yeah. This State in Football History, Honda Driver on the NFL coming up. Fat Tony here with you. John Osher for another hour as we continue to talk Jacksonville Jaguars football and get you set for mini camp getting started tomorrow here on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history. I'll try to fill those shoes of Mike Dempsey with this thing. Not sure if I can or not. Gerald Sensabaugh will be turning 33 years old today. Fifth-round pick of the Jacksonville Jaguars in 2005. Played safety here for 4 years before moving on to Dallas. Played four more years in the NFL. Happy birthday to Gerald. Current Jaguars birthday, Luke Bawenko, 25 years old today, entering his third year in Jacksonville. He's kind of that center guard. Played his rookie year here, obviously. And if you don't follow him on social media, then why are you on social media? Luke Bawenko, one of the best follows on the Jacksonville Jaguars roster, if not the best. I actually think I saw this morning ESPN had an article up of the best follows on social media from each NFL team. And it's, you know, the team writers are putting up whoever the nominee is going to be for each team. And Luke Boyko was the nominee from Mike DiRocco for the Jags. Makes a lot of sense if you follow him at all. One more birthday here of note. Harold Red Grange, a.k.a. the Galloping Ghost, was born on this date, June 13th, 1903. He was part of the first ever Hall of Fame class in 1963. And, John, a couple moments ago, I was asking you if you can name any of the members of the original Hall of Fame class of 63. You did a pretty good job. Can we get John's mic on there? Thank you, Tyler. Yeah, you did it.
I did an okay job.
Yeah, I know you knew Slinging Sammy Baugh.
Yeah, I went more player oriented. Yeah. I got some of the players, and I forgot that a lot of the first class was founder and commissioner, oriented type thing, which it should be. It was
the first class.
It was the guys who made the league.
Yeah,
so.
No doubt. Sammy Baugh was part of that first class. Burt Bell, the NFL commissioner for a while, part of that first class. Joe Carr, Earl Dutch Clark, Harold Red Grange, as we just mentioned. George Halas, talking about founders of the league. Mel Hine, the former Giants great. Wilbur Pete Henry. Robert Cal Hubbard, another Giants player there. Don Hudson, Earl Curley Lambeau, who actually started that team. It was like a little club that he started, the Green Bay Packers. They called it that because it was next to it was basically sponsored by a packaging plant. Mm-hmm. And the name just stuck. And obviously, his is the name on the field now. Tim Mara, the original owner of the New York Giants, George Preston Marshall, John Blood McNally, Bronco Nagurski, Ernie Nevers, and Jim Thorpe, the members of that first Hall of Fame class.
Good names there.
In 1963. And that is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
The San Diego Chargers and wide receiver Keenan Allen agreed to a four-year contract extension on Friday, keeping him with the Chargers until 2020, that according to Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network, who also says the extension has a $45 million base, earning a maximum of $50 million with incentives, $20 million guaranteed for Allen. He was hurt last year at the end of the year on November 1st, suffered a lacerated kidney, a terrible injury that not many guys can come back from in the season, that is. The Broncos received their rings yesterday. Defensive coordinator Wade Phillips was happy to get his, but ran into a small problem, Phillips tweeted out this morning. The ring ceremony was great. Receiving the ring was awesome. Seeing that they had the wrong name on my ring, not so good.
Whose
so,
name?
Wade Phillips, the defensive coordinator.
So what name was on there?
We don't know yet. That was just the tweet from Wade Phillips. So
they spelled Phillips wrong?
I don't know. Maybe put one L in there instead of two? Not really too sure there. Another Broncos note, Adam Schefter was on Mike and Mike this morning, and he talked about the current contract situation with Super Bowl MVP Von Miller.
They've agreed on the year six. They've agreed on the average annual salary, $19.038 million. Now the question is the structure, and they're not even close on structure. They're not talking the same language, and both sides are dug in on this. Where Von Miller would want north of $70 million guaranteed. The Broncos feel like they're at 58, though some would look at the first 2 years of the deal and say it's really 38.5. So unless they can find a way to bridge the difference there, and I don't know how they do that, to be perfectly frank right now, though there's a month left between now and the deadline for franchise players to sign. They're at a complete salary stalemate, the total disagreement on the guaranteed money, and it shows no signs of letting up anytime soon.
July 15th is that deadline, by the way, and Von Miller's still not happy with the situation. So DeMarcus Ware posted a picture of him, Gary Kubiak, John Elway, and DeMarcus all in a picture in D.C. Well, Von Miller reposted the picture, and like a disgruntled 14-year-old girl, Miller cropped out John Elway. So that was his way of showing he was mad at John Elway. Two more stories here real fast, guys. Baltimore Ravens wide receiver Breshad Perriman suffered a partially torn ACL in his left knee on Friday in the final OTAs for the Ravens in the offseason. His procedure will be performed by Dr. James Andrews, same guy who did the meniscus surgery for Jalen Ramsey. No timetable set for the wideout's recovery window. He was the 26th overall pick in last year's NFL draft. He suffered a PCL sprain in his opposite knee on the first day of training camp last year. So Breshad Perriman, some bad luck. The guy out of UCF played with Blake Bortles. And a final story here, guys. 49ers still don't know who their starting quarterback is, and former Gator Jeff Driscoll could be getting some reps as the starter soon. Chip Kelly on the former Gator, I think he's done a really nice job. He's really intelligent. He picked things up conceptually very quickly. He was exposed to a couple of systems because he jumped around first at Florida, then Louisiana Tech. I think he's already been exposed to multiple systems at the college level, so we're very impressed with him. He's very athletic. I think he was the fastest quarterback at the combine. He's big. And he's got a big arm, so Jeff Driscoll possibly going from a guy who was booted out of Gainesville pretty much to a possible NFL starter.
That'd be something. That would be something else if that is how it works out. I'll say this about Jeff Driskel, too. Watching him last year at Louisiana Tech, he fits what Chip Kelly wants to do in his offense like a glove. He's a smart guy. He gets the ball out quick. The decisions are quick. He is athletic, so he adds that element of being able to move the pocket a little bit if he wants to do some of that there in San Francisco. And honestly, at this point, he has to beat out Blaine Gabbert to be a starting quarterback in the National Football League. So I'm not sure how much of a challenge that really is. But I thought when he landed in San Francisco, speaking about Driskel, that's just about as good a landing spot as he could have possibly had in the NFL, because he is going to a guy who's going to be doing something that nobody else is doing on offense, and it fits him pretty well with Chip Kelly and what he wants to do on the offensive side of the ball. So we'll continue to watch that. Keep your eye on that in all those dynasty leagues out there.
Yeah, and clearly they don't have a guy, so
yeah,
they're looking for a guy.
No doubt. And, Breshad Perriman, that's awful.
It's sad.
And we watch it with Marquise Lee happening in front of our eyes, too, you know, top end of the second round, and just hasn't been able to stay healthy in his first 2 years in the league, and him having to deal with all the questions that he's had, and it's not his fault. You know, you get hurt. There's not a whole lot that you can do to prevent those
especially
kind of
his types of injuries. I mean, Marquise had the soft tissue stuff at times, which you can at least make an argument is a little more preventable, trainable through. I mean, it's a little bit more of, okay, how can we address this with ACLs and tears? You know, there's nothing you can do.
Sure.
It's just a fluke thing. And I saw somewhere where Steve Smith kind of went on the proactive thing, was telling a reporter, I know he's going to get a lot of grief for this, and it's ridiculous because there's nothing you can do about the kind of injuries he's having.
Yeah.
They're tough breaks, and it's true.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And another story that we didn't get a chance to talk about last week, but this is in a very weird way related, just the idea of having bodies available to you in the National Football League, as brutal as this game is.
Mm-hmm.
The idea for a developmental league with football has come up again, which I would argue that college football is as good of a developmental league as you're going to have. They brand stars before they even get into the National Football League. And with the way the draft works now, I mean, it's a huge event. And these guys that are going to be first and second round picks, everybody knows their names by the time that they're even being called on draft night. It hasn't always worked that way. What do you think about the league trying to put something together where these guys aren't just on a practice squad anymore?
Right.
They're playing football and trying to get physically ready if they were going to get called up.
It would surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me if they tried it. It would surprise me if it worked, because there is a it's a tough thing to do because of the injury risk involved.
Okay.
Meaning, would your developmental league be in the fall, or would it be in the summer or the spring as you ramp up? Now, if it's in the fall, and you're talking about really developmental guys, where it's guys who were not drafted and guys who are not going to make rosters, then it makes sense. If it's in the summer, such as NFL Europe was, if you remember,
mm-hmm.
if you recall, NFL Europe was a quarterback's haven, if you will. There were quarterbacks who developed in NFL Europe. It was not as successful at other positions because teams generally, if you're going to try to develop a guy, now you're asking him to go play April, May, June. Boom, come back, you rest for 2 weeks, and then you're in an NFL training camp trying to do that over again. And the result was you had a lot of guys designated to go to NFL Europe. Remember, they did like three, they would designate each year three guys to go play in NFL Europe. Well, they were always, or I shouldn't say always, usually bottom of the roster type guys who were going to have a tough time making it. Well, that was because most teams preferred to have a guy that they were trying to develop in their environment, in their OTAs, in their mini camp, in their training facility, with their people learning their offense and defense. So I'm not saying it could never work. There's more of an argument for it because the college game is being played a lot different than the NFL game right
now.
No
doubt. And especially when you're talking about
four.
Yeah, you're talking about NFL Europe being a quarterback developmental league. Well, college football is not developing NFL quarterbacks
correct.
Right now.
But
I think teams are trying to figure out how to – they're not developing linemen.
Right.
The wide receivers. I mean, guys that are coming out of Baylor have never had a playbook in their hand.
Would you realistically, though, you know, and I'm going to use Luke Joeckel as an example. Okay, say Luke Joeckel or your left tackle hasn't had a lot of experience in an NFL-type offense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you pick him in the top 10. Are you really going to send him to a developmental league against guys who are absolutely desperately fat?
Yeah, I don't think it'd be
those
guys. I don't
know if that's what you would do.
Yeah, I think it'd be the lower-end draft picks, the undrafted guys, I think would be the guys filling
out.
And
the argument becomes,
and,
is it worth the money
right.
for the league to finance that? Because it's expensive to field
yeah.
football.
And the lessons that they would have to have learned from NFL Europe is a developmental football league isn't going to be a moneymaker. Like, if you're going
right.
to have a developmental football league, then you do it in the fall when the NFL and college football,
right.
all this other stuff is going on too, and you're doing it to develop the players. And that's
right.
that's really the bottom line. It's not used
right.
for anything beyond that. I don't know if the NFL will, in the end, go for something that, one, they're going to lose money doing,
right?
Despite how much money they make in the actual big leagues, right?
Right.
But they lose money doing it, and nobody's going to be all that interested
right.
in what's happening with that. I think it could help the product on the field in the NFL
sure.
if they were to go that direction, but I'm not sure that it would ever really get off the ground.
And you can say all you want about, well, the NFL has the money to do it, and yes, they do. But NFL owners are usually NFL owners because they've been good at making money.
Yeah.
Guys who are good at making money sometimes don't like losing it.
No doubt. No doubt. And look, if they were going to do a developmental league when they should, which would be in the fall with these other guys that are being cut off these rosters here in the next month and a half.
Right.
Those are the guys that should be playing in a developmental league. If you felt like they're
yeah.
good enough to be in our camp but not quite good enough to be on
right.
our team, then let them play football all year and have a league that you're controlling where you're letting them play football all year and
develop
these guys.
And my guess is, from
guys.
The league's point of view, a lot of football people would probably say, are those guys going to develop? Are you going to get the results that you're hoping for by doing it that way?
Right.
I don't know if you would or not.
Right. And they don't know either.
Right.
Because they've never had that kind of league before. Now, they've had leagues that go head-to-head. USFL, which they absorbed, basically.
Right.
The AFL, which they absorbed, basically. These other leagues.
The XFL, baby. Don't forget
right,
the XFL.
That were able to compete with them during the fall. They found a way to basically bring into the fold. This would be different. It
right.
would be a completely different feel to it, and I'm not sure it would ever happen. I would love for it to happen
sure.
because I would love to see more people get an opportunity to develop the skills that they already have instead of just kind of being thrown away and then invited back the next June
right.
to come back and do it again and basically be a camp body, but really get an opportunity to improve those football skills. We got to get into mini camp. I haven't talked a whole lot about it as it gets started tomorrow. Fans' first opportunity to get out there. Fan feedback spotlight today. What player are you most looking forward to seeing out at Jaguars mini camp, as it's the public's first opportunity to see any of these new Jaguars faces? So all the free agents, you haven't seen them. All the draft picks, you haven't seen them. Who are you most looking forward to seeing at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Tyler, at John Osier on Twitter, also on the Facebook page, facebook.com/Jaguars today. We'll get to your responses here in about 20 minutes or so. We'll talk about what we want to see the team get done in mini camp here in just a moment. John Osier, Fat Tony here with you on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
We're rolling along here on a Monday, a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday edition of Jaguars Today. Fat Tony here with you, John Osier alongside. We got the fan feedback spotlight coming up here in about 20 minutes or so. Well, we'll get to some of your answers as to who you're most excited about seeing out there at Jaguars training camp. And I kind of knew where the answers were going to go. I mean, there's three or four guys that I figure will be at the top of the list.
Yeah, excited to see Brad Norman, man.
Yeah,
very excited.
Especially considering it's not padded practices out there.
Right.
I mean, it's basically going out to watch the athletes be athletes. And that a guy like Dante Fowler Jr. can even make the list tells you just what kind of athlete Dante Fowler
yeah.
Jr. has been on the field through the OTAs with the reports coming out about him. But, John, talking about minicamp, getting ready for it tomorrow, it's basically the end of the offseason for this Jaguars team. They get the month off, essentially, and then training camp will be here before you know it. And things will really start ramping up once we get to the middle and end of July for this football team. But what would you like to see them get done in minicamp outside of stay healthy?
Sure.
Which would be the number one priority, but what would you like to see them get done in minicamp?
I don't know how much, you know, it's tough because we talk about it and we have to talk about minicamp because it's this week and OTAs ended last week, so we were all putting a wrap on OTA. Well, OTAs and minicamp are really the same thing.
Right.
It's 4 weeks where you get a total of 12 or 13 practices. So I don't know that they're trying to get anything out of minicamp beyond staying healthy and beyond continuing the process that they had started with OTAs, which is getting this offense to a point where everybody's comfortable speaking the same language and getting the defense to the point where they know or where they have a better idea than they did a month ago what guys' strengths are, what these new roles are going to be, what third down defense is going to look like. And I think a lot of that process now starts once you get Miles Jack in here because he's going to be a huge part of the third down defense. I think he'll be somewhere on first downs early in the season. We don't know where yet. But getting those guys comfortable in what they're going to be doing, especially in the sub packages or on third downs, I think is the big thing you want to start doing. And that's why, you know, when I was doing my storylines to watch, I wrote about Marquise and Dante Fowler, and then I kind of laughed and said, all anybody's really watching is Miles Jack this week. So, I mean, that's really what it's about because not only are the fans who are going to be there Tuesday and Wednesday getting their first chance to see him, so is the staff, so is the media. He was on the field during the rookie mini camp or orientation. He was out there with them. But that was such an introductory thing that it really wasn't practice, so to speak. So if you think the fans are going to be watching them, well, so are the teams. So is the team, and so are the other players. So are the coaches. So is David Caldwell. I mean, they want to see this guy because all reports are he is going to be special and fun to watch.
Yeah, and look, I think for me, too, that's obviously my answer would be Miles Jack. But you've been listening to me talk about Jack for I don't know how many months now.
Sure.
And how much I love this guy going into the draft and just the kind of freak of an athlete that he is, and it's the first opportunity, like you said, for a lot of people to see Miles Jack in some kind of football activity. There hasn't been any of it. And, look, I'm one of the people who's been saying for a couple months, I'm not real worried about the knee right now. So,
yeah, nobody is right now.
Yeah, so it's if it's going to go bad, it's going to go bad at some point. I think there are questions about Miles Jack in football conditioning.
Sure.
Because he is a guy who missed most of last season, only played in three or four games last year for UCLA. So it's been a long time since Miles Jack has been playing football for anybody. Now, he went through all the conditioning to get ready for the combine and camp and all these different things, the draft, all this stuff. So he's been conditioning, but it hasn't been football stuff, really, that Miles Jack has been doing. And I think the questions about where they're going to use them and how they're going to use them are difficult to answer, and they're much more difficult before you ever see them on the field than after they actually get to use them and see how they want to. We were talking about sub packages, which the NFL today is all about that.
All about it.
I mean, it's guys coming in waves that will replace entire defensive lines. You need four or five corners that are competent to be an NFL team in today's game. It's just a different game than it was even 20 years ago.
Absolutely.
From that kind of perspective. And so the question becomes, not only what is Miles Jack's role on first and second down, which you would think would be that strong side linebacker, the auto, because that's what makes sense from what's open, basically, for Miles Jack to be in that linebacker core right now. And then on third down, or passing downs, when they go to nickel situations and only have two linebackers on the field, how quickly does Miles Jack adopt the NFL game that you feel comfortable putting him on the field in whatever situation, whether that be covering a tight end, being in zone coverage, doing whatever, how quickly does he adapt to those things?
He better adapt fast because he's going to be on the field.
I agree with you.
So, I mean, and I don't know what they'll say about that, but I would just be shocked if he is not a key part of their third down, of any sort of passing situation. At the very least, you just put him on the tight end and say, hey, cover him. You know, if that's your worst case scenario, then it would stand to reason you're a lot better covering the tight end than you have been since I can remember.
Sure.
So it's it's a question that we'll all speculate on for the next 4 or 5 weeks. I think it's a question that very quickly during training camp, it will start being very obvious where they're going to use Miles Jack. You know, it wouldn't surprise me to see him some weak side. If there's two weak side backers on the field, that's your sub package. That could be where he, and that's where he starts playing a role very, very fast.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised by that.
Yeah.
And I know we've talked to Ryan O'Halloran, who's said that the team really likes Paul Posluszny on the field, even on third down, and that they seem to have questions about Telvin Smith on the field on third down, which at times, as athletic and gifted as Telvin Smith is, there were times that, look, he's still a young player,
sure,
and he got moved around by quarterbacks a lot, even last year. That kind of thing was happening with him. So there's some things that he needs to improve on.
Absolutely.
But he is athletically a guy that you want on the field on third down, and Miles Jack is the same.
I've got to think, as true as that is about Telvin, you know, you just have to think that Miles Jack and Telvin Smith with that kind of a speed would be on the field together a lot when the other team is passing the ball. So I understand that those are issues with Telvin. It would shock me if he's not on the field in a lot of passing situations, along with Miles Jack, because all of a sudden you're really fast and you can really cover a lot of that short stuff, and a lot of the tight end running back things should be able to be taken away with those two guys.
Yeah, and the tight end has remained a problem for this Jacksonville Jaguars defense, even with Telvin coming in, and maybe that's where some of the questions come in about how effective he's been. Now, he's made some big plays since he got here. He's a tackle machine because of his ability to get sideline to sideline, and he's been really good in the run game for this team, as has a lot of people on the Jaguars defense. They were really good on first and second down. The question, as we mentioned earlier in the show, John, is this offseason has been about third down.
Right.
For the Jacksonville Jaguars on defense. They found their free safety, which was a big piece that they haven't had before.
Mm-hmm.
But everything they've done has been about third down, pass coverage, getting after the quarterback. And we're going to finally start seeing the fruits of some of that and how they want to put some of these pieces together when they get guys like Miles Jack back on the field and actually have a chance to see what it looks
like.
Well,
and they've got guys, 15, 16, 17 guys on defense now that you can have different packages. You can have them doing different things for the first time. Before, there was always a case of, well, we can put that guy out there, but is he going to be effective at what we're asking him to do? Now you've got, like we say, we're talking about Miles Jack, Skuda, Posluszny, Smith at linebacker. You feel good about all those guys in the field. You're talking about at corner having Colvin, Amukamara, Ramsey, and House. Mm-hmm. Well, that's four guys that you feel, if you had to lose two of those guys and start two at corner, you would not be overly nervous about your starting two corners.
Mm-hmm.
That hasn't been the case at various levels of this defense for the last 3 or 4 years, and they're now deep enough where they can rotate on the defensive line, and they've got front-line talented guys who won't necessarily start. That's a step in the right direction.
No doubt. And we had a caller a moment ago that wanted to hear your comments on Demetrius McCray.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's interesting what's happening with Grotz and McCray, because they're not going to have Colvin for the first month of the season. Ramsey should be back in the fold by the time they start training camp. At least that's the expectation. But without Colvin available to him for the first month of the season, they're going to have to crunch a little bit when it comes to the cornerback spot. And somebody may be on the roster for the first 4 to 6 weeks that isn't going to be long-term for this roster. And I think if it is that, then it comes down to whether or not they would rather keep Grotz or keep McCray.
Yeah, and all reports from talking to different players is that McCray's done very well in OTAs. And he's performed well at times for this team. He's also had situations where he hasn't made plays when the ball's in the air and hasn't done well enough to be in that top four coming into the season. So he's played well in OTAs. I think he'll get a chance as you go forward in OTAs. In training camp, because of Colvin's absence, he's going to have a chance to prove whether he should be that guy that they carry into the regular season. Now, then after that, he knows the system. Injuries come into play, so Can he contribute this year? Yes, but he's got to play better and probably get a break.
Fan feedback spotlight coming up. Who are you most looking forward to seeing out at Jaguars minicamp over the course of the next couple days? You can respond on Twitter at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Tyler, at John Osier, as well as on Facebook at facebook.com/Jaguars Today. We'll get to some of your answers there in the fan feedback spotlight. One name coming up more than others. Not surprising at all that his name would come up. We'll also get a comment from Gus Bradley on that particular player here in just a moment as well as we continue along on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, got a few minutes left here. Wild West Guns and Gold Monday on Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey up in New York for a fantasy football draft. I think tonight, I think he may still be in the cab right now, making his way into the city, landed this morning.
He's giddy with excitement, isn't he, on the way to this thing?
He loves New York, man. When we were up there for the Super Bowl a couple years ago, he was pumped. And New York was so cool. Because Radio Row was basically in the ballroom downstairs in the hotel we were staying at. So it was really cold that week. But for most of the week, unless you wanted to go outside, you didn't have to go outside. You could walk out of the hotel, you look to the left, and there it is. You know, it's Times Square. Cool. It's right there. I mean, we were right in the middle of everything and just happened to get lucky enough to get in that hotel. A lot of times when you go to the Super Bowl, you don't know where you're going to wind up.
No. True.
As far as media hotel or whatever, you know it's going to be in some media block of hotels. But
you can
you
spend
don't
a lot of time shuttling if you get a bad hotel.
Yeah,
sure.
San Francisco, we spent a lot of time shuttling. Yeah. It was just and the shuttle schedule was ridiculously stupid. But people don't want to hear us complain about our free rides in cities cover the Super Bowl and how much of a pain that might or might not have been. We asked fans today on the fan feedback spotlight, let's get some real insight from these people as opposed to my complaining about a shuttle in San Francisco where the sourdough was outstanding. Okay. But we asked today, what player or players are you most looking forward to seeing out there at Jaguars mini camp as it gets started tomorrow? Obviously, I'll be out there live for practice tomorrow. Dempsey will rejoin me on Wednesday, and we'll both be out there at mini camp practice on Wednesday and hopefully get a chance to talk to people like John Osier and others that have had the opportunity to go out there and cover the team throughout the OTAs and now the first opportunity for fans to see a lot of these players out there on the field as well. Some of the answers that we got today on Facebook include Kevin, who said, Miles Jack, so much versatility and talent, very curious to see how he's used. That's something we were just talking about a moment ago. John Daniel said, got to be Dante Fowler Jr. because he's coming off that injury. And we've been hearing how good he's looked. A close second would be Miles Jack. From Jason, an interesting one here. James Sample, mainly because of after Sipp's performance last few years, we need an upgrade at that strong safety spot. I get the sense right now, at least, that Cyprian would be the starting strong safety for this team.
Yeah, I'd say he's the leader going in. But I wouldn't say that he's anything close to a lock. Sample, because he missed so much time last year, is really going through that where he's sort of proving to coaches that he is what they thought he is, sort of phase. I mean,
Sample is one of those guys,
but boy,
too.
He is an impressive looking player.
Yeah.
If he's good, he might be really good.
Yeah, he's one of those guys. It's not quite Marquise Lee, where every time I was out at a practice and Sample was on the field where my eyes gravitated to him. But I can tell you, every time I've been out of practice that James Sample participated in, you know when James Sample's on the field, right?
Yeah.
His size is something that shows up, and you're like, ooh, who's that big boy playing safety?
Yeah,
it looks
you start
like
looking around. If you're looking around the roster for guys who aren't in quote-unquote starting positions right now, but who it's not unrealistic to think that they might be really, really good at some point, James Sample is a good place to start. Because if he fulfills his body and his potential, he might be really, really good.
A couple other answers here on Facebook. Josh said Miles Jack are the obvious answer, but I also can't wait to see Dante Fowler Jr. and Tashawn Gibson. From Marshall, Dante Fowler Jr., but it's Blake. He goes up. We all go up to the promised land. Hashtag Jags pride. From Damon, Miles Jack, just to see how quick he can catch up with the defense, his explosiveness. And from Doug, he says, just to be different, How about Bjorn Warner? He fits our scheme a lot better than the Colts, and we haven't heard much about him yet. Just curious to see if he has anything there. The word I've heard around Warner, at least from the guys that have been out there at practice, and granted, it may not be completely fair because he's doing the same drills right after Dante Fowler's doing them.
Sure.
But the word that I'm hearing is slow with Bjorn Warner at
this point. Again, Dante stands out because he's so different athletically. For the most part, when you're talking a pass rush position or defensive tackle position, it's like Doug Marrone said last week when he spoke to the media about the offensive line. It's all great. You can look at all this, and it's good to be out here, but you don't know anything until the pads go on. So I think that really translates over to the defensive side of the ball too. I'm hearing the same thing, but don't write off anybody as a pass rusher until they show you they can't do it in pads.
Right. Right. So that makes sense.
That's probably where he is right now.
Yeah, and he'll get the opportunity to show what he can do once we get into training camp. There's a lot of bodies out there at that position, and so many bodies, in fact, that they've switched a guy to a lotto, which it feels like they're making up another name during this offseason.
Well, they're making up the name. It was funny. I went over to Dan Scoot a couple weeks ago, and I was kind of excited. I was going to write a little story on the new lotto position. Uh-huh. I said, Dan, tell me about the new lotto position. He goes, that's basically the auto.
Thanks, Dan.
And so anybody who's been in the situation, I really wasn't ready to give up on it. And I said, yeah, but it's a little different because you're doing this. He goes, yeah, I guess.
I guess.
So he wasn't buying it.
I like the
name Lotto. He wasn't going where I wanted to go.
I like the name Lotto more than I do Auto.
Sure.
I feel like you can strike the millions, right? You can strike a rich with the Lotto position.
He's pass rushing a little more, which is what he wants to do. So it's really a matter of they're going to get to go play Leo a little more after they're done playing Auto.
Sure.
So, he's excited about it, but he wasn't going that direction on my story.
No.
He didn't help Johnny O out very much.
He didn't.
Had no interest in that.
It's basically the auto.
Yeah, it's good.
Oh, well, why don't you explain the auto to me for the 100th time, whatever the heck that is.
Yeah, so, but he'll have a role.
Yeah. Let's get some of the answers there on Twitter. What's going on there, Tyler?
Duval Bill 904 says, Fowler need to see how he continues to progress as he is a vital piece to the defense. Another one here, can't wait to see the rare albino tiger going long, and he could go all the way. That is from Jimmy James and from Black Dog Express. Difficult question, I'd have to say. Dante Fowler by a millimeter. He's also got a handful of other guys looking forward to seeing. From V. Foster, he says 1010XL is the best radio station, so hats off to him for that
nice
words there. Also says V. Foster's looking forward to seeing Dante Fowler, says he could be the X factor of the defense. And a couple other tweets here from Miles Jack and Dante Fowler. Seems like those two guys, along with Jalen Ramsey, although Jalen's not going to be out there doing much, those three seem to be the responses we're getting so far today.
Yeah, and that makes sense. I know Miles Jack is kind of my guy. I'm going to have an eye on Dante Fowler because I haven't had the opportunity to see him in OTAs, and I wasn't at the rookie minicamp last year when he blew out his knee after 10, 15 minutes or whatever. So it's the first opportunity really for fans to see that guy at all. Miles Jack at all the free agents that are coming in, the Deshaun Gibsons, those types of guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first chance that we've had. Miles Jack, I think, would be our answer, John. And Gus Bradley last week on Friday after practice, speaking about what they have in store for Miles Jack, their expectations for him coming into this mini camp this week.
We've had opportunities to meet with him under the NFL rules, and so it'll be interesting to see how much he's picked up through those conversations we've had without getting reps. Listen, when you go out there and you do a move the ball situation, there's no better learning environment for our players. You can sit in the classroom. You can go through, walk through. That's huge. And when we check our bus, most of our bus come up in move the ball situations where the coaches are off the field. So that gives you a sign where we're at. We need to do more of that. Miles Jack hasn't been here for any of that. So, I mean, he's going to go through a little bit of a learning curve.
No doubt. No doubt. It'll be his first opportunity to be out there. And like we said, how quickly does he acclimate to the NFL game? He's a gifted enough athlete that athletically he can do anything they're going to ask him to do on a football field. It's letting that athleticism catch up to the mental side of the game, which we talked about with Marquise Lee too. Letting your athleticism catch up and the game slow down for you. All these practices in the offseason are part of that process for young players.
Yeah, I'm usually a guy who's very skeptical on how much a guy impacts in his first year. But the guys we're talking about might be special enough athletically to sort of break that, or to be ahead of that curve, if you will.
Sure.
And what a unique situation it is that we've been talking about Miles Jack and Jalen Ramsey because of the draft for so long, and then you sort of step back and realize when you watch Dante Fowler Jr. that, oh yeah, this guy was the number 3 overall pick last year, mm-hmm. and everybody knows that. But I'm saying when you sit there and break down stuff like we do and talk about it, it's somehow almost been assumed for a year that, well, maybe Dante just won't be able to give what we thought he was going to give. And I'm saying assumed from fans and people who we talk about these things with. But then you watch him in practice and you remember, yeah, he may have been the best player in the draft because there were two quarterbacks who went ahead of him.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of changes the tone a little bit. But there were people who thought Dante Fowler Jr. was the best football player coming into the NFL last year. And then you see him and you remember why, and you're like, wow, this is 3 guys who have special elite level, franchise player level athleticism. That's unique.
Yeah.
You don't usually see that in one group of players who have never played for a team before.
Yeah, and
that's almost unheard of.
Exciting for that defensive side of the ball and the prospects that they could potentially have for a unit that really has struggled, especially in that 2015 season. What do you have coming up on Jaguars.com here over the next couple days?
Minicamp coverage will be going live, I believe, same time you guys are, Tuesday and Wednesday, I believe, will be going live. And you know, tomorrow it's all Miles Jack all the time. I mean, we've talked a lot during OTAs about some of the other guys, but with Miles Jack coming in, find out what he thinks, and it'll be a Miles Jack sort of day on Jaguars.com. And heck, why not?
Why not? It should be. It's a Miles Jack kind of mini camp.
That's right.
As we get set for getting started tomorrow, I'll see you out there on the field.
I look forward to it.
Tomorrow morning, hopefully we'll get you in on Wednesday or Thursday, talk a little bit more about what's actually happening with the Jaguars at mini camp and what we can take away, because we could talk about everything we see for the
next 2 days.
We don't have to. They better keep those formations secret the next couple days, because we're going to talk about it. What kind of packages are they running? We'll let you know.
That's right.
For the next couple days, at least, out there from Jaguars minicamp. Thanks a lot, John, for coming in today.
All right, John. Appreciate it.
Mike Dempsey will rejoin me again on Wednesday. So for us here on Jaguars Today, for John Osier, for myself, Fat Tony, for Tyler Dever, for Joe Fortunato, for Mike Dempsey all the way up there in New York, for Gus Bradley, who we briefly heard from there, that'll do it for us on a Monday, a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. The boys from Midday Chalk join us next here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
You guys have a good day. Peace.